This episode is brought to you by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, get matched with up to three top selling agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, rock stars. From Rockland USA Studios in Washington, D.C., this is Rock on the Money. I'm talking about your saving, investing, and protecting all those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda, a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate agent. We're so grateful you've joined us. Call us with your questions and comments, 989-AAA-ROCK, 989-888-7625. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or the website at rockonthemoney.com. Good evening, Amanda.
Hey, Craig.
How you doing?
How's it going? Oh, I'm good. I'm good. I do have an update for the group in the category of coronavirus quarantine things breaking and falling apart in general.
Yes. Bring it on.
Yeah. Yeah. So now my flat iron is out of commission.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to resort to those cheap beauty tricks we talked about in a couple episodes ago because I dropped my flat iron in the toilet and then it didn't work.
So. That's okay. I baked a cake today and I dumped a pound of sugar on the floor. So.
Oh, yeah, super. So, yeah.
Yeah. Had to get out the big old shop vac and get it all up. Like, I'm not sweeping sugar. I'm going to just vacuum it up. So.
And apparently flat irons are not essential items because I can't get two-day delivery from Amazon on it. Who knew? Feels essential.
Now, did you notice anything about the prices of flat irons on Amazon? To me, it looks like all the prices are jacked. On Amazon, anything online.
They seemed about right. Yeah, oh, okay. They seemed right for flat irons. I don't think there's a big run on flat irons right now.
That's a good point. Good point. What you got coming up on the show?
We've got some social media questions.
Yes.
And then we have a topic, who is the real financial advisor?
Yes.
And then we'll wrap it up with a savvy savings segment on pets.
Pets! I wish I had.
Say that three times fast. Savvy savings segment.
Savvy savings. I wish I had a pet. I don't have a pet.
Yep.
Oh, well. Now I'm all depressed again. All right, well,
let's kick it off with the first social media question.
All right, so we have Sherry from Facebook. She asks, hey, Craig, what are your thoughts on long-term care insurance? Thanks.
Okay.
So I went and grabbed my standard response for this. And I don't think we briefly talked about long-term care. Let's just go over it one more time. I know you can get long-term care insurance at a lower cost when you're younger. Don't do it. The math doesn't work out. So
lower monthly cost.
I'm sorry.
More over your life.
Yeah. The payments into the plan are less expensive. However, when you do the math, you're better off waiting till you're age 60 before you shop around. Statistically, 90% of all long-term care insurance claims are for people over 70.
Right.
On the flip side, if you feel that you're not going to qualify for it at age 60 because of, I don't know, Amanda, what, your family tree, you're not taking care of yourself, you already have pre-existing problems that are going to disqualify you, then you may want to try and get earlier before you know that's going to happen. If you already feel like you're going to let yourself go, you probably want to go ahead and get your insurance.
Yeah.
I mean, there are other reasons that we're going to get into about another kind of insurance, which I don't like. Number two, I'm going to turn into you, Amanda. I'm trying not to use the word always.
Yeah, no, that's a bad word. Always and never. Avoid those.
See, I co-host with a lawyer, so we want to try and purchase traditional long-term care insurance. Now, Amanda, when I say traditional, people are like, well, what do you mean? Well, because I've had several messages from people who are being approached about hybrid policies. And a hybrid policy is basically the long-term care insurance with whole life built into it. And you know what I feel about whole life.
Well, we all feel whole life is, a terrible, terrible investment.
Yes.
It's not an investment, it's insurance, but it's a terrible place to put your money.
Now, there is a reason why you would get a hybrid long-term care insurance policy. It's what I just talked about. If you're disqualified for the regular traditional long-term care insurance, you can almost always get accepted into a whole life policy because they're making out on the deal. You're not.
Oh, that's they're taking anyone and everyone because they're just making money hand over fist.
This is just another blatant reason why we always want to avoid. Well, not always. There we go. You have messed me up, Amanda.
I see that. Yeah.
Oh, you're getting me all straightened out. We want to avoid whole life in any kind of form. And just the mere fact that you can pretty much always, and that you can almost always get this, Amanda. You can always qualify for whole life because they're the ones making the money. You're not.
Right.
So
exactly.
That should right there tell you how bad that is. Anyway, moving on. Number three, don't buy long-term care insurance if you're wealthy or poor.
Oh, well, so either end of the extreme.
Right. So if you're poor, well, if you qualify for Medicaid, Medicaid's going to take care of it. So there's no reason you need it, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if you have 3 to 4 million, and we've talked about what our target numbers are, Amanda.
Right.
But 3 to 4 million, if you have that in investable assets, you can pretty much self-insure yourself at that point.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So you cover it. I personally think even if you're down as low as two would be the minimum for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you. That's personal opinion. We talked about every million gives you $40,000 in income for retirement.
I've got time to figure it out yet.
Just a rough, the 4% rule. So we figure $2 million gives you $80,000 a year. So you're not really digging into your annual income. But once you get beyond that, I mean, come on. That's a lot of money. When you purchase long-term care insurance, ensure there's an inflation rider on the policy, meaning at least 3% per year to keep up with inflation. Because what we think something costs now could cost you a lot more 10, 20 years down the road when you actually need it. And if you don't have enough money for it, then you're going to have to start digging into your savings. And that, Amanda, is if you have savings, as we know a lot of people don't. So that could be a big problem. We also want a policy that has a 5-year benefit. Because what is the typical lifespan of somebody in a nursing home?
What is it, 2 to 3 years?
Yeah. We're back to the death topic. And 6-month waiting period, which means you can't use it for 6 months. It's kind of like with a lot of insurance. There's always a waiting period.
And that's because they don't want you, realizing that you need it and then going out and buying the policy.
Right.
And then using it the very next day.
Yeah. And when you're looking for a good quality insurance company, we want one that is rated A++ or A+ by a rating firm known as AM Best. And I have an account with them. And I'm routinely checking for people when they message me. And if people want to message me, I'll check out the companies for you. But it's a rating of their financial strength. Because if we're going to give them all this money, and it may cost $2,000 to $3,000 a year, Amanda, when you're buying this at age 60, you want them to be around when you need it. So we want to have a high quality company that's going to be around later on in life. So there you go. That's my standard speech for long-term care insurance. Hey, I got one for you, Amanda. You ready?
Okay.
Should we be concerned about our airline credit union solvency with the airline struggling to survive?
Okay. Well, so a couple of things are going on here. Airline credit unions are separate from the actual airlines. So a credit union is a separate entity. It's established with a certain group of people who are eligible to join that credit union, but it's not the same entity as the actual airline.
Right.
So that the credit union is probably doing just fine right now. I wouldn't be concerned about their solvency as because it's unrelated to the airlines. But second, even if there were an issue, your money is insured up to $250,000 by the National Credit Union Administration, which is similar to the FDIC or the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, which insures bank accounts. The credit unions have a slightly different organization that does than insuring, but it's the same concept there that any money that you have in, and it's on a per account basis, is insured up to $250,000. So if you have more than that in your assets, then you should open multiple accounts so that you're fully insured.
And I know you're a lawyer and I mean, you're not going to like this statement, but it is true. Ever since the FDIC or the NCUA were founded, no bank holder or credit union member has ever, never, ever, not ever, ever lost a penny of federally insured deposits.
Right.
Ever.
Yep. They're safe.
They are safe. So you will be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. And I am with a credit union. Do you have a credit union? Are you with one?
I'm not. No, I use USAA, which is a bank, but it's more of a restricted membership type bank.
Yeah, I'm with PenFed, which is short for Pentagon Federal Credit Union. So, I love PenFed. I'm not recommending them. I love using them. I love credit unions. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, they're great.
They really do work hard for their members. Anyway. All right. So how about we get into the topic today?
Yeah. Who's the real financial advisor?
You like that? So, Amanda, how do you think I'll respond when people message to me with a question saying like, what do you think about this such financial advisor? Should I use them?
I think you probably say, why do you need a financial advisor?
It's probably exactly what I said to them. But I get this all the time. They'll say, what do you think of Edward Jones? What do you think about this? That I'm like, what? Number one, why do you need him? But the second reason why I brought this topic was CNBC had an article today, which I found very interesting. It really opened up my eyes more about what's really going on with these financial advisors. So the title of the article says, your financial advisor may not actually be an advisor, air quotes. Doesn't that really back up everything we've been saying all along?
Yes.
Before I get into this, because people are not going to hear the end of this story, we only believe in fee-only advisors. And what is a fee-only advisor, Amanda?
So that would be someone who gives you a fee up front. They tell you it's going to cost you X dollars for us to meet and for me to provide you with recommendations. So it's very predictable. You know exactly how much you're going to be charged. There's nothing that's based on a percentage of your investment or percentage of your earnings. It's entirely a dollar amount that you know in advance and can...
Kind of like a lawyer when you go meet a lawyer, right?
Yeah, in the lawyer world, we call it a flat fee engagement.
The number two reason, which is really big, is they make no money other than what you pay them to meet with them. They're not making anything on the back end from kickbacks, commissions, fees, anything else. It's only the money that you paid to meet and get their advice. That's it.
That's right.
They make nothing else. Nothing secretly. That's it. So there's two places you can go to find these amazing financial advisors.
Okay.
GarrettPlanningNetwork.com or my favorite, the National Association of Personal Financial Advisors. And the website is NAPFA.org. I'll put those in the show notes, Amanda, because I'm that kind of guy. So back to the news article. Now that we told everybody what they're supposed to do, here's why we tell you to do this. Apparently, beginning in June, the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, is going to require brokers to stop calling themselves advisors in order to reduce investor confusion.
Right, right.
So currently, brokers are allowed to market themselves as financial or wealth advisors.
Yeah.
So what exactly is a broker? The broker is the person that actually goes out and buys the stocks for you. They go and get you all the stuff that you want to purchase. And they make money off
that. They're the ones who are actually conducting the transactions.
Right. And those are the people that are making all the commissions from, let's say they want to resell Harbor
Southwest.
Capital like funds or something. What'd you say?
I said Southwest stock.
Southwest stock. Yeah. But I'm thinking more like mutual funds or trying to push. Some of these other ones, like a PIMCO bond fund or something like that. So they're making money on the back end of that sale. They're getting a commission because they recommended it to you. And now they're going to make even more money off of that on the backside. Or the company that they're working for, they're having a contest. And Amanda, I know this sounds crazy to everybody. It's really no different than a car dealership where every month have a contest where... Whoever sells the most gets a trip to Hawaii or gets or gets that.
So they have the financial incentives to give you certain things.
Absolutely. Or a prize incentive for the best salesperson or something like that. I'm not saying it's bad. You just need to be aware about it. Because here lies the problem, people. and I did not realize this, Amanda. There are a lot of firms out there that are duly registered, Amanda, which means the person that's duly registered, they're a financial advisor registered, and they're a broker. They could be meeting with you. You're on the other side of the desk, and they're telling you as a financial advisor, oh, you should get this, you should get that and that. And then all of a sudden they switch hats, and then they go and buy the stuff for you or make the commission. Those are the people we've been telling you about. They're making the money on the back end. They do not have a full 100% fiduciary responsibility to you, and they don't have to.
That's right.
So the new terms in June, a regular broker, not the dual hat, but the regular broker that can't call himself a financial advisor anymore or a wealth advisor, these are the new terms we're going to be looking for. And it's going to be interesting to watch for this in the commercials or... I'm going to go out and find these people. So now they have to call themselves financial consultant. That's going to be a new one. Chartered wealth advisor. I don't like that. That sounds busy. How about this one? Retirement consultant. Wow. Oh. I like that one. Ooh. How about wealth manager?
Yeah. Okay.
And the last one you might hear is called retirement counselor.
Got it.
But I also noticed one of them was chartered wealth advisor. It's still in there.
Yeah.
But anyway, getting back to the real issue that's going to happen. If you are a dual hatter, you're a broker and a financial advisor, you have all your certifications. Mm-hmm. You can still flip back and forth, and there's nothing that can be done about that.
Right.
And there's so many of these people out there, Amanda.
Yeah. Yeah. The majority of accounts, right?
And 90 million accounts out there are going to fall under these dual hats out there. Uh-huh. That's a lot of people, Amanda. 63% of all accounts out there will still fall under the dual hatter, and you will not know if they're making money on the back end. And they don't even really have to tell you. The disclosure statements are buried on websites.
Yeah.
Or in fine, you're fine the queen print. Of fine print.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm probably one of the only people who would find it.
Yeah. Us common people, we're not going to go look. We just sign the papers and move them around their day. So I'm not saying they're bad people. There's just so many other ways of doing this and paying much lower fees.
Yeah. I mean, there's just an inherent conflict of interest there is all.
Right. If they're going to push a product on you, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to perform any better than something else. In many cases, they actually perform lower.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where we are going to remind you where you should find your financial advisor, GarrettPlanningNetwork.com or NAPFA, National Association of Personal Financial Advisors. They have to sign and do an oath saying they only do fee only advising. Now, let's say you are somebody and you're like, that sounds great, Craig, but I'd rather just sit at home. I mean, I'm so used to this. You love this teledoc thing. You're all about telemedicine.
Oh my goodness, I love it.
People love doing stuff at home now. And they want the hand-holding of somebody. They do want an advisor. I'm going to give you a place to go find an advisor, and even I would have no problem using these people.
Okay.
Even though I currently do not. And let me remind people, we do not make money off of any of the people we're mentioning right now. We don't make money from Garrett Planning Network, NAPFA, or Vanguard, which is who I'm going to mention. So Vanguard, Schwab has the same thing as well, and they're about the same cost. Vanguard Personal Advisor Services, and I'll have a link in the show notes for them. And once again, we get no commission for referrals on this. I promise. Okay.
Yep. So these nothing. I promise too. We're not getting
you're
any
the
money.
Lawyer here, so you know she Amanda cannot risk her career over anything I say. So
well, I'm not your lawyer.
I checked that Vanguard doesn't even have a referral commission where if we did recommend them that we would make money off it anyway. They don't even have that program, so it doesn't even exist. Their advisors are completely salaried. They make no commissions. They get no financial incentives. Remember what we talked about? Trip to Hawaii? They don't even have that when they recommend the products. And typically the products are going to recommend, they're going to be Vanguard funds. But how many times have we talked about how great Vanguard funds are?
Vanguard's one of the lowest cost options out there anyway.
I don't think you can find anyone that will badmouth Vanguard out there. They are just a great company. And they started out to help out the average investor anyway. That was just how they started. And the funds that they're going to recommend, their fees, annual fees on the fund, are 0.01 to 0.04, basically free, Amanda.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it's just
puny.
It's puny. And what they do, Amanda, they connect over webcam. They do it over the phone, and they'll find out what you want, what your goals are, and they'll develop a plan. They'll send it to you, and if you approve it, they'll go get all the funds for you, give you your reports. You can contact them anytime you have a question.
It's just like having them on retainer, basically.
Right. And the annual fee for that is 0.3%. Typically, if you go find any other financial advisor, like the one your Uncle Larry recommended or Karen at work recommended.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't have an Uncle Larry.
But there's always saying, oh, you should use this guy at Edward Jones or something like that. They're going to charge you anywhere from 1% to 4%. We've read emails here, Amanda, that people sent us. They're getting charged 3% to 4%. Remember that lady with the 17 funds?
17, yes.
17. And she was getting charged 3% to 4% for that luxury of being in 17 funds. And she was not making any money. She completely switched over. Now she's aiming for 8 to 12% low-cost Vanguard funds. And we did that. Anyway, this is something I'm very passionate about. It's pretty much why I went down this road of learning and taking charge of my money, because I finally found out what was really going on out there. And of anything that we talk about, financial advisors is the one thing I get really, really passionate about, guys. I want you guys to succeed and not waste your money. Anyway, I'm off my soapbox, Amanda.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break. And then when we come back, we'll talk about savvy savings and how to save money with regards to pets.
People don't like saving money with pets.
Well, I think people like saving money no matter what, but they're more likely to spend and splurge on pets than they are even their own children.
That's true. All right, we're going to learn all about savvy savings with pets. Love savvy savings. We'll do that right after this. You're listening to Rock on the Money.
This podcast is sponsored by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Eliminate your stress. Whether you're buying or selling your home, be sure you are working with an expert in your local area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com will match you with up to 3 qualified, licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of over 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're looking for a condo, new construction, fixer-uppers, mountain retreats, vacation properties, or a first-time home buyer, let Choice Realty Connect match you with the perfect top agent today. Choice Realty Connect is who I trust, and I know you will too. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Rockland, USA.
Welcome back, everybody, to Rock on the Money. Check out our private Facebook group, Amanda. Facebook.com/groups/your401k.
And be patient. You have to be approved to enter the private exclusive club.
That's right.
But do be patient. We do go through all of those applications for approval.
We've had scammers from overseas get in there and... Yeah, we're trying to protect our identity. I know you guys are smart, but yeah, we try and help out as much as we can. Hey, savvy savings.
Yes, and today's topic is pets. This is inspired by Roscoe today. Aww. So
what breed is Roscoe? Just update everybody.
He's an English bulldog. Yeah, I posted a picture of him on the private Facebook page.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. I was getting my hair cut. All right.
Yeah. So the first tip here, when you are looking to add a new furry member to your family, adopt versus shop. Now, I'm guilty of the shop. We did get Roscoe from a breeder, but I've learned that there are wonderful English bulldog rescues as well. And so our next one, I would definitely look to adopt if possible. Mm-hmm. So it's a huge savings, though, even up front. So shopping for a pet, especially, do not under any circumstances buy a pet from a pet store.
No. You're talking about puppy mills and stuff?
Puppy mills. Plus, yeah. You pay a super premium for those. The no dog is worth the prices they charge there. But yeah, and you don't know what kind of puppy mill they're coming from. At least with a breeder, you can have a better understanding of the lineage and what kind of facility they have if you visit it. But the best thing to do is to adopt. There are plenty of dogs out there who need a home, who are just sitting sadly in a kennel. And the price for adoption is usually a fraction of what it is to purchase.
Yes.
So you save huge upfront. Did you adopt Taco?
No, I bought him from a breeder of Chihuahuas in West Virginia.
So we're guilty, but
yeah, I'm guilty. Actually, you know what? No, the dog was sent originally, lived in Oklahoma City, somehow got shipped out to this breeder and it needed a home. So I still paid money for it, but it did need a home. And I guess to keep someone from just taking the dog, when you, sometimes I guess when you put a dollar amount on it, it kind of filters the people that really want the dog and not someone that's just, you know.
So that's a good point. I would also avoid adopting from Facebook or Craigslist, because a lot of times people put on Facebook pets for sale that maybe they've stolen out of other people's yards or things like that. So you don't know where those dogs are coming from, and certainly don't encourage criminal activity. So I would definitely adopt from a reputable nonprofit organization. The Humane Society, your local Humane Society is a wonderful place. There are rescue networks for breed specific ones. So adopting is definitely a wonderful option to save a ton of money up front, which you can put the savings towards your retirement.
Nice.
So once you have your new family member, you want to make sure have your pets spayed or neutered, like Bob Barker says. But you know what? Drew Carey still says it.
Yes.
So the point being, a couple of things here. When you spay or neuter your pet, you're obviously going to prevent additional puppies from being born or created. And there's costs associated with that, both with the medical care during the gestation period, as well as the cost for delivery, vet appointments, and then trying to either get rid of the puppies, rehome them. Get rid of them sounds terrible, like you're putting them in a sack, but I meant rehoming. Or if you're keeping the puppies, that's just going to add and strain your already strained budget for pets. And then it's also a great health benefit for pets. So you get them spayed or neutered when they're young, and they're less likely to develop certain cancers. So you save on long-term medical care as well. You have to feed Roscoe or Rover or whoever, Taco, whoever you have in your home.
Taco's dead. You keep forgetting that point.
Well, you need to. Well, you're too busy to have a new pet, but
yeah.
When Taco was around, I bet you guys gave him quality food, right?
He's a Chihuahua. They don't really eat much. Actually, I fed him everything I'm probably not supposed to feed him.
Oh, what, is that why he's dead?
Because Chihuahuas think they're human. Unless you've ever had one, they don't think they're a dog. They're not really a dog anyway. That's for a whole nother episode.
So quality food. So we, as I've mentioned a number of times before, Roscoe is pampered, but we keep him on a quality food, but we shop around. I have found the best prices usually are online, or get this, a lot of times you can find them at like farm supply stores versus going to PetSmart or Petco or a dedicated pet store. You can buy in bulk, and you want to use an airtight storage container if you do this so the food doesn't get stale, just like you don't like eating stale cookies. And if you have a very small dog like Taco was and you're like, oh, buy him in bulk, there's no way my dog will go through that giant bag before it goes bad, then you can consider splitting a jumbo bag with your friends or family and sharing the cost there. If you order online, sometimes you get a discount for signing up for auto shipping. The only thing I would say is be careful about the schedule for the auto ship. You don't want to have piles of bags building up at home. So, and sometimes you can pause your auto ship too. So just kind of keep an eye on that and look into it. Coupons. You can check the manufacturer website. Sometimes they have coupons that are available, or like we talked about before, and you're ordering online and you've got that Honey add-on to your browser that will shop automatically for online coupons. We're going to talk a lot about vet bills. One key thing is exercise for your pet. A healthy weight equals fewer vet bills. We are guilty of, well, I don't know if we should say we are, but Roscoe was quite rotund, even from a puppy on.
Rotund.
That's literally what the vet said when he was a little tiny puppy. He had a pot belly, and that has carried with him his entire life. He's big boned.
Yes.
But we have been strict with his food, and he's finally down to a lower weight. He's lost a few pounds, and now he's able to go on walks where he wasn't before, and it was too much strain on his knees. So it really does make a big difference to keep him at a healthy weight. Stay current on shots and preventative pills. I know this. Preventative pills like for heartworm preventative medication or flea and tick prevention is very expensive. And it's always a shock to me how expensive it is. But it's much cheaper than the illnesses that these preventative medications are meant to prevent. So one of my favorite sayings is an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, right? Mm-hmm. So stay current there. And when you are looking for medication, do not under any circumstances buy them from the vet, unless of course it's an emergency and you know your pet's life is on the line. For preventative and regular maintenance medications, I would definitely avoid the vet's office. Vets charge a premium. A lot of times they're also receiving compensation from the companies to promote those medications. So you can certainly find better deals on those items either at Walmart. Costco has a pet section now. I saw that. Some medications are also found online. In fact, a lot of them nowadays. We actually have a subscription for $3 a month. We have a subscription for Pet Care RX, mm-hmm. and it saves me probably 70% of the cost. So, for example, Roscoe's HeartGuard medication is $30 for a 6-month supply with Pet Care RX versus the best prices I could find online anywhere else were around $50.
Wow.
Then in the show notes, I can send you a coupon for $10 off your first order through Pet Care RX. But it is, again, a monthly $3 subscription to be part of the club there.
Nice.
Other websites also offer pet medications like Pet Meds. Chewy.com is another one. But again, I was only able to find like $50 prices there. And when you're shopping, make sure you look at the right weight for your dog. Roscoe's are a little more expensive. Mm. He's got a little more dog to medicate. Yes. Pet insurance. So I would think twice about the cost of pet insurance and instead put money away into a savings account to handle unexpected pet costs. I've looked into pet insurance policies in the past, and if your dog is a breed that is already susceptible or, you know, likely to have issues like with hip dysplasia or other common breed specific illnesses or injuries, then a lot of times they disclaim coverage for those in the policy in the fine print. So you might think you're going to have coverage and then you get to the vet and you don't. So I would put the money into a savings account instead. Skip the fashion trends. So I think this is hilarious. I live in Tampa and it is generally warm or hot in Tampa.
Yes.
One time, just within the last few weeks, I saw it was like a cold snap, and cold is in air quotes. It was like 64 degrees out Fahrenheit. And this lady had her dog walking in a winter coat.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I thought, you know, dogs already have a coat, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so skip the fashion trends, unless, of course, you live in a really cold climate and you have a dog with very little body fat and they need to stay warm, then, you know, a sweater might do the trick, but you don't have to do a different outfit for every day of the week like I've seen sometimes in Miami. Roscoe doesn't need any coat. He loves the snow. He'll roll in it. He's a snow dog. You can save on pet supplies by checking dollar stores, or we often find great things at TJ Maxx, Home Goods. That's one of my favorite places to shop. Mm-hmm. They have a great pet section.
That's a great grooming stock too, by the way.
Is it? Oh, I didn't
both
know.
All those Dollar Tree, the TJ stores, all great stocks.
Yeah, right, TJ Maxx and Marshalls are all under the same company, yep, umbrella.
They're all killing it.
Grooming is another cost that comes with your pet. So you can save money on grooming by giving your dog a bath at home. We do that with Roscoe. He hates it. You can, and Roscoe's easy because he has a short coat and he doesn't require like any haircuts or anything like that. But if you have a dog that requires more, you know, qualified grooming techniques.
Yes.
And you may, like a poodle.
Yes.
Then you can, you know, maybe try and watch some YouTube videos for some grooming techniques and see if you can feel confident with some home tutorials and give it a shot. I mean, fur's going to grow back. So how bad can you?
Yeah.
If you aren't confident in your abilities, you can certainly look for a local groomer versus the pet store. Again, pet stores are going to be one of your most expensive options for almost anything. Toys, supplies, food. Grooming. So look for a local groomer, and sometimes you can use some kind of discount with them. You know, if you're a teacher, sometimes they have teacher discounts, military, firefighter, students. Always ask about discounts.
Mm-hmm.
Learn to trim your dog's nails. It's very expensive to bring your dog into the vet just to have a nail trimming done. If you are bringing your dog to a groomer, you should pre-groom them. A lot of them, groomers charge extra fees if the fur is like matted or flea infested or extra dirty.
That's nasty. What I
read. It's nasty. Yeah. I don't think I could be a dog groomer, but.
Yeah.
And then finally, pet sitting. So if you travel or like to travel like we do, then pet sitting is always another expense. So a couple of things that we've done, we never board Roscoe. Some people do, and it works out great. And I'm not knocking boarding at all, but that's just not the route we take. We, as I mentioned in one of our previous episodes, use Rover.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can find either pet walkers there or pet sitters that you drop your dog in, or our preference is a dog sitter that comes to our house and just stays with Roscoe the entire time because
he's
pampered. He doesn't like to be alone.
Yes.
He is a snuggle. And then another option is you could exchange pet sitting favors with a friend. And if you don't have any friends with pets, but they have kids, you could consider swapping babysitting for pet sitting.
What if you don't have any friends?
Yeah, then you kind of got to work on that first.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, your dog's your best friend, but you can get some human friends too.
But my dog died.
Wah, wah.
Well, that was great, Amanda.
Yeah, so that's our pet segment on savings. When you had Taco, did you do any of these?
Oh, yeah. No, I discovered when he had to be on Lasix because he had water around his heart to keep him alive, you know, when he was alive. I did use Pet Care RX. Once I found out the drug, I went ahead and bought a small amount from the vet to get the right amount.
Right.
Then I went online and found it. And then I had to cut the pills in half. I found the right dose, but I had to cut them in half.
Oh, yeah. We talked about cutting medication in half for humans.
Didn't have one of those pill splitters.
Pill splitters, yeah.
No, I used a knife and I cut it. I broke it in half that way.
Yeah.
I wish I had a pill splitter. It would have been a lot easier because they were tiny little. And then I had to put it in cheese or a hot dog because they're finicky. Chihuahuas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ugh.
Well, I think all dogs are. Roscoe's super smart. He's on antibiotics right now for a skin infection, but I have to smush it in cheese and toss it to him. If I hand it to him, he'll lick the pill out of the cheese first.
Wow.
But if I toss it for him to catch it, and then even then, he might tongue the pill out and spit it on the floor. So I have to toss a second piece of cheese immediately after the first one.
How do they know? He has to swallow
the first one with the pill before.
How do they know?
I don't know. He just knows. Like, if it's in his dog dish, he'll eat every morsel of kibble in the dish and leave the pill there. So, I don't know.
Yeah, hot dogs work for us.
Oh, yeah.
Little tiny hot dog, just shove it in there.
All right.
Anyway. Well, all right. Thank you very much, Amanda.
Thank you. Have a good one.
And as always, a quick reminder, check out our website, rockonthemoney.com. We have show notes. All the podcasts are located right there. The website turns into a player. You can play it right on your phone. Plus, there's links there so you can subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platforms, including Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, and TuneIn. And if you could leave us a review and some star ratings on those platforms, it really, really helps us out a lot. Check out our Facebook group community with over 3,000 people in there. facebook.com/groups/your401k. And also check out our Facebook page at Rock on the Money. So long, everybody. We really, really do have a lot of gratitude for you listening, sharing, and spreading the word. You guys are great. Amanda and I cannot emphasize how much we appreciate you guys. So long, and we'll see you again next week. Until next time, America. America's Rockland, USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.